Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, your smart speakers, podcast. We're everywhere. So, guys, lot of head coaches got axed. We just dealt with Joe Judge because that's the most recent, right? But the Bears obviously got rid of Matt Nagy. I know, Jay, you were very sad about that. You were hoping that they would keep Nagy around after for his communication skills especially. Did you?
It's Jay's fault.
I'm going to miss those post-game pressers.
Yeah, I'm sure you will. So, meantime.
I don't wish harm upon anybody, though. Just want to state that.
Of course. The latest on the Bears, they're interviewing, you know, for the coach and the GM. So from Adam Schefter, guys, the Bears requested permission to interview both Bucs coordinators. So both of them.
Smart.
Byron Leftwich, the OC, and the DC, Todd Bowles. Those are very sought-after names.
Legitimate candidates.
Yep. Per league source. So they're also interested in both Bucs coordinators. I just said Bucs coordinators. Bills coordinators, sorry. Brian Daboll and Leslie Frazier. They requested permission, the Bears did, to interview Saints assistant GM, Jeff Ireland, for their GM job, obviously, per source. And they requested an interview with the Buffalo Bills assistant general manager, Joe Schoen. And I hope I'm pronouncing his name right. So, Key, out of everything I just said, what stands out to you?
Probably Jeff Ireland. Why in the hell would you be interviewing Jeff Ireland? Like, he doesn't deserve another opportunity to become a general manager. This is what makes me disappointed in certain organizations. Like, you're interviewing this dude. This is the same dude that asked a player of the Dallas Cowboys, reportedly, if his mother was a prostitute during draft time. Like, why would you? He asked Dez Bryant that.
Right.
I don't want him in my building. We're trying to change the culture and the feeling. And I know he's in New Orleans and people, Jeff Ireland. He's a progress stopper. There's other people that you can interview in this position. Now, look, an interview doesn't mean anything, right? They're going to interview a million different people. But you can't seriously considering Jeff Ireland as your general manager when there's guys like Reggie McKenzie that's sitting out there that did a hell of a job help building the Raiders when he was there with them. Then you got Newsom in Baltimore, Ozzie's son. I mean, it's just so many different people. Louis Riddick here with us. It's not the qualified guys.
Now, Jeff Ireland, not only did he apologize for what he said to Dez during the draft time, but just to contextualize, I'm not making excuses. I'm not saying he did the right thing. There has been in the NFL, and that's changing, but there have been periods of time where, Key, the GM's explanation for something like that is, well, we need to know, is this guy going to get rattled, you know, if you throw something out there that, you know, seriously. I know it's ridiculous.
They got all the tricks for you.
Not rattled, but more like personality traits that can factor in how you handle moments due to your upbringing.
Here's what he said at the time. I'm going to tell you what Jeff Ireland said at the time. My job is to find out as much information as possible about a player that I'm considering drafting. Sometimes that leads to asking in-depth questions. Having said that, I talked to Dez Bryant. I told him I used poor judgment in one of the questions I asked him. I certainly meant no disrespect and apologized.
Yeah, that's fine. The apology, you always apologize. Was you going to say, I'm not apologizing? But no, regardless of the Dez Bryant situation, in my opinion, he's not a good general manager.
Right.
Just look at his
track record. That's just like a symptom of not being a good GM.
Just, you know, he's with Sean Payton and Mickey Loomis down in New Orleans, and he's the assistant general manager. But the Chicago Bears can find a general manager that is way, way better than that.
Like who?
Here, I'll tell you right now. Here,
Who the Giants are talking about?
Bring up the list, Key. I want to know what's on
Buffalo
the phone in the
GM?
List.
You want to know what's on my phone in my list?
Well, I don't want to know everything that's on your phone. I just want to know about the
list.
Here,
let me scroll down on my notes here because I don't use a computer like Jay.
So the thing that Key does, and I like this, when you talk about – you try to isolate, okay, what – Jay, I've noticed he does this when we're evaluating, you know, because from a distance you go, this guy was in this place, they had success, right? And Key will be like, these were this guy's coordinators. When they left, they had success. He did not have success anymore, right? You try to isolate to find out what the value that that guy is actually bringing. So well, when you
like
look
he did
at
yesterday
that
with
list,
Dabo Swinney, right, in Clemson, exactly.
Same thing, because I do the same, and you're not always going to be right doing that, but you're correlating success to the presence of this guy in the absence of those guys, right? So when you look at that list, who do you see that fits the bill?
Well, I don't know how to say his last name. What is it, Joe Schoen?
Schoen, I think.
Schoen, assistant general manager in Buffalo, great candidate. I mentioned Reggie McKenzie, who's a senior personnel executive down at the Miami Dolphins. Vincent Newsom, senior personnel executive with the Baltimore Ravens. You already know what that pedigree is. You talk about a guy who is an up-and-comer in Roman Pfeiffer, who's a executive at the Denver Broncos, former player in the National Football League, longtime personnel guy in JoJo Wooten, who was once upon a time a hot candidate, who is the director of player personnel with the Chargers. I could go on and on and on about list. You talk about a guy, I think I mentioned Louis Riddick, assistant general manager in Ed Dobbs down at the Indianapolis Colts.
I mean, why do you think that some guys get are the retreads whose names come up even after disasters, strictly relationships with the bosses?
Yeah, it's all about the relationships with different people. You know, somebody connected, give him an opportunity, plus – you got the league pushing certain guys and saying, oh, he gets another opportunity. You should really take a look at him, a strong look at him. That's what happened.
Yeah, I was going to say, though, Max, you know, I know a lot of people are pulling for Jim Harbaugh. We had Kaplan on yesterday from my partner in Chicago, and he kind of likes the idea of Jim. But, you know, when you were making mentions of Joe Schoen and then obviously a guy like Brian Daboll, who's an OC over in Buffalo, like I started thinking about, okay, what did Daboll do with Josh Allen? How he was able, from a developmental perspective, really help him blossom. And if I'm looking at another quarterback who has similarities as it relates to assets, right? How he can move outside the pocket with his feet, his arm, the talent. Like, that is Justin Fields. So I think those are similarities that you start seeing, too. Like, with, okay, like, what is that relationship and how can we translate that to our
that's
franchise?
Really interesting.
So you got – so
also bad weather town, yeah.
So the way it works, and you know this, Jay, and you may know, Max, but in the league, there's different levels of the executives, right? There's the scouting director, the college scouting director, the pro personnel director, all of these different levels before you get to general manager. So a guy like Adrian Wilson, you know that name?
Mm-hmm.
Adrian
mm-hmm.
Wilson, the safety, yep. Played in Arizona for the Cardinals a long time. He is the pro personnel director for the Cardinals.
Okay.
So essentially what his job is to look at all the players in professional sports, free agents, all that sort of stuff, who they need to sign, bring in, who should we trade for, all of that. He's a guy, if I'm Chicago, if I'm the New York Giants, I'm taking a look at Adrian Wilson because, one, he knows how to
do. Or GM.
Yeah, he knows how to do the job. Two, he's a former player. So his pulse on players is he doesn't need to do the Jeff Ireland thing. Because he doesn't need to ask that question.
You cut a little fat off your staff
already,
because the one dude
already,
has the eye.
I already know what the situation is with that particular individual, whether he's black or he's white, believe it or not. I already know. When I walk in the room, I already know. Mm-hmm. Jay Will, he likes to do that.
You know what else is it?
Because I got my ear to the ground. Some of these other dudes don't have their ears to the ground.
But someone like that, take Adrian Wilson, someone like that. Because I think of like Masai Ujiri in basketball, right?
Yes.
Not only because there are two things. There's ear to the ground, I get it, but there's also drafting.
Yes.
I put my eyeballs on this dude. Let me see what he can do. A guy like Bill Parcells takes one look at you, he understands what you can do, right? But then there's development. Drafting and development. And when I look at a guy like Masai Ujiri, he can spot the talent, and he will go down and help develop that guy if he has to, right?
Yeah.
So how important is that aspect of a GM, that component of a GM?
The general managers, okay, the general most successful GMs that I've been around, they understand football.
Mm-hmm.
So they could also – instruct or have a conversation with a coach and say, you know, we've been watching film. So-and-so needs to work on this. Because they're not coaching the players. They're not messing with them. They don't even come on the
field. But they're coaching the coaches.
But they're coaching the coaches to coach the players in certain situations. A guy like Rich McKay, he knows football. Like, he really knows football. So he can sit there and go, okay, Dick Haley, Shaq Harris, the Shaq Harris, the ex-quarterback, you know, longtime black quarterback, Grambling, the whole deal. He was my general manager, a personnel guy with the Jets. He can recognize certain things to get them to have me play better.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join on the Goodyear Hotline. Did the NFL MVP have an impact on another team's decision with their head coach?
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, the podcast.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests on the Goodyear Hotline. We're asking on the Dr. Pepper call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776, the Dr. Pepper call-in line. How many teams will have a new starting quarterback in 2022? And who are they? Who are they going to be? So the Giants moved on from Joe Judge yesterday. And I don't think, like, let me try and connect some dots here. This came just hours after Aaron Rodgers said this on the Pat McAfee show.
Nobody wants to be a part of, like, kneeling the out to take a tie. I would lose my mind. You know what would make me lose my mind almost as much as that? 3rd and 9 on the minus 5. Oh. Let's go in goal line personnel and run a QB sneak.
Yeah, you would call timeout there. We'd audible. Hey,
call that one in, Matt, and let's see what happens. That ain't flying.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Fourth quarter,
unbelievable. The breakdown that Orlovsky had on that was pretty amazing.
I mean, first of all, Orlovsky got the shout out. Go, Dan. But listen, this is what I think did it, dude. Just listen to the way they laughed at him. Do we have the laugh? Well, that's Aaron Rodgers and his friends laughing at what Joe Judge did. I think, guys, I know you can say what you want. Oh, you know, the Giants brass and everything. When it gets to the point when the best quarterback in the world and his boys on the air are like, not just like, ha-ha, like having a belly laugh over a decision your coach made, you have become a punchline.
I don't think that was at Joe Judge. I think that was more when he said the line, call that in, Matt, and see what happens.
No doubt, but that's what I'm saying. Like, it's such a stupid thing to do in their opinion.
Yes,
that if someone tried to throw that by Aaron Rodgers.
No, but you're not
well, everybody knew it was stupid.
What I say? I said originally, okay, which I agree with as far as he go. I understand why you were doing it. You want to get some room. But if I'm on that team and you're doing that, we're not doing that. I'm with Aaron Rodgers. Joe Judge, what the hell are you doing? I might even call timeout and change the play my damn self.
That's why I said, and we talked about this yesterday, who the hell is on that team that has the brass to stand up like, yo, no, we're not doing that. Like, who in the locker room is commanding
you gotta
that type of respect?
You have to be able to have a couple of those dudes that wave coaches off. Like, man, no, man, get out of here. What are you doing?
I mean, if you're
just surrender.
Anyone listening
surrender
to me who
formation,
thinks,
that's what we called it.
Anything who listening to this who thinks like, nah, that's not – just imagine, put yourself in Giants ownership position. What should we do about the coach? Yeah, he hasn't been very good. What about that 3rd-and-9 call? And then you hear those dudes laughing at you. You are, listen, but Max, you're a laughing stock.
But see, Mac, Lord have mercy.
Mac Jones. Max. Mac Jones?
Max Kellerman.
Yes.
The owners already have made their mind up anyway.
Are you sure?
100%. That didn't influence them. They had already, when they went into the meeting with Joe Judge, they had already made their mind up that he was going to be fired. They just wanted to do it a certain way.
If they were on the fence, could that have pushed him over?
Or just felt like he just cemented everything for them. He just clarified everything. I mean, from the Chicago game, you're coming off the Chicago Bears whooping your tail like that.
Oof.
The Chicago Bears whooping you like that. The Bears. And then you follow that up with that performance.
If you were playing daily fantasy, take whatever team's defense and special teams is playing the Giants. They're going to put up 20 points for you. Like, you know, that. So, by the way, Rodgers, this is why every week everyone waits for Rodgers on the Pat McAfee show. Listen to why he's been able to play, in his view, at such a high level late in his career.
I think that if you still can play at a high level, it's way harder to hang them up, regardless of how your last game goes, win or lose. For my profession, there's a finality to it. You know, I've been really good at this sport for a long time, but there's a finality at some point. You can't play till you're 70. You know, I don't want to be, this could be my last year, this could be my retirement. I want to trust how it feels and where I am mentally. This has been a really, really fun year.
And he could continue to play. He's got another 4 to 5 years left in him at a high level. Whatever the high level is, he's not all of a sudden getting ready to be a 58% completion percentage guy, a, you know, 20 touchdown to 20 interception guy. That's not where he's at. He's getting better, almost like Brady. He's getting better.
I mean, we're showing the stats fell off a little from last year to this year, but relative to the rest of the league, he was the best last year and once again this year. You have to contextualize the stats.
When you say statistics fell off, okay, so he threw 5
interceptions. No, Key, I'm not making the point that he got any worse. I'm saying your stats are only relevant in terms of the context of the league you play in. So he was the best in the league last year. He's still the best in the league this year. I'm not worried about those stats falling.
Yeah, that doesn't mean anything. And statistics, and I said this yesterday with Jeff Saturday on First Take, is statistics doesn't mean anything because it's all about the game. If I'm up and I'm winning by 16, 17, 18 points, I don't need to be throwing.
Yeah,
I'm not sure how much longer he can play. It all depends upon that pinky toe.
What was it, about 8 weeks ago?
8 weeks ago, the pinky toe. Peyton Manning hung it up at 40, right? But you could tell he was depleted by injuries. He was always beat up. You don't see that with Aaron Rodgers.
Know what else?
You don't see that. He looks 1,000% healthy, and he's playing at a high level.
Also, when you Peyton Manning and you beat up, Aaron Rodgers can get away from people. Peyton Manning couldn't get away.
Know what else, guys?
He had straight cement boots.
The 4-minute mile was never going to be broken. Then someone broke the 4-minute mile, and then everyone broke the 4-minute mile. Some of it is changing conditions, and the first person to do it shows now. Some of it's psychological. Oh, look, you can do this. Tom Brady playing at this age, at this level, I think you will now see other players, not just anyone, but now it's not like 40, 41 is a psychological barrier, too, because it used to be, guy had a bad season at 40, guess I don't have it anymore. Team thought, guess he didn't. So that's it. But it turns out, no, maybe he just had a down season.
Playing at 44 or playing at that level at 44.
But
like
they weren't
Tom
letting
Brady.
You get to 44 right. Anyway. They were not letting guys get to 44. When you turn 30-ish, that's when they used to talk about, he's slipping a little bit. Even though a guy might be playing well, it was a number and an age in their mind that said, yeah, he's a little older.
But why are we talking about the number 44 or 43 or 42 in generalities, right? Like, we're talking about Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback of all time.
But it does seem that more –
maybe Aaron Rodgers, but where do we – what breath do we have Aaron Rodgers in? Like, when people talk about him, he has a chance to be in that category, right, to a degree.
At his best?
He has a lot to catch up with on Tom Brady. Like, you're talking about two people. I'm saying the percentages – of us talking about people playing up to that age are drastically low. Yeah, but, it's not something for everybody.
But in there are more players, it seems to me now, like playing at 37, 38, 39 at a high level than there were years ago. Seems to me.
Well, you to a degree. Because they wouldn't let you
Drew
do
Brees
it.
Drew Brees just did it. Ben Roethlisberger.
But they wouldn't let you do it in the past. Level.
Ben's not playing at a high level.
Oh, no, you can say what you want, but he went to the playoffs back to back. He's 38.
I know what Max is saying. He's playing.
He's
still
playing, yes.
And he's a starter.
Yeah. And he's in
effective, and he's in the playoffs. In the past, they wouldn't let you. The moment the clock turned 30, they was looking for the next guy.
And I'll bet you also the quarterback felt, I'm supposed to be getting worse. If he has an off year, he's like, I guess I am getting worse.
Yeah, guys got into 38 at the quarterback spot. That was considered really old. That was like, oh, he's getting old. We got to get young at this spot. Now they give you a couple years after that.
How much of it, I wonder, is the rules have changed to protect the quarterback so much? Like, basketball is the type of game you got to tear the uniform off, dudes. Why would they want to stop playing? Aaron Rodgers mentioned it. Like, there is a finite amount of time you can play. Like, you're not going to play at 70, right? So that's what Aaron Rodgers said.
Playing last year.
That's what Aaron Rodgers said, right? So, but in the NFL, you talk to so many former players, man, I didn't want to run through that brick wall anymore. Like, you had enough, unlike the NBA, where it's like, man, this is Vince Carter. Let me keep doing this.
Because it's different. Like, if I played in the NBA, which I should have played, but anyway.
Defender, lockdown defender.
Foul guy, got five of them. if I had been an NBA player, I could have played forever because it's different. I can play basketball and just go. Football, it's like I'm sitting there in the meeting rooms. They're talking to this young dude. I got to listen to it, but I'm only practicing. Then I got to get ready for the game. Practicing basketball is like a game. It's pickup.
But I wonder how much now the quarterback position especially is more like basketball than it used to be. Because Aaron Rodgers sounds like, man, you're going to have to tear this uniform off me as long as I'm playing at a high level. That's what it sounds like to me. Huge matchup in the NBA tonight between two of the Eastern Conference's best and a surprise MVP candidate. Huge game tonight for DeMar DeRozan and the Bulls hosting the Nets on ESPN at 9 p.m. Central. So I don't know if your mic is on, Jay. I can't hear you.
Hello?
Is my mic not on?
I don't think so.
I don't think mine's on either.
No, yours is on, Key. I can hear you.
How about now?
Now it's on.
All right.
There you go.
Now, what were you saying about the Lakers?
I was saying that DeMar DeRozan actually wanted to be a part of the Lakers organization.
No one asked you, though.
Just didn't work out.
No one asked you,
wanted to come home to L.A.,
Jay.
And he went to Chicago, and the rest is history.
By the way, I love the move Chicago made in the offseason. I thought they'd be really good. They are the TV voice of the Chicago Bulls. Adam Amin is with us on the Goodyear Hotline, brought to you by Goodyear, making the plays that move you forward. Goodyear more driven. Good morning, Adam.
What up, brother?
Good. What's going on, boys? Good to talk to you.
Likewise. You expect to see the Bulls, you knew they'd be better, but at the top of the East right now?
So a 31-win season last year, and with a lineup and a roster that probably isn't remotely close to where it's at right now, and you thought with all the improvements, with the additions, guys that came in with a chip on their shoulder, you figured, okay, this should be a better team, right? Let's say the season goes a full 82 last year. Maybe they win 35, 36 games. So let's operate under the assumption that that's where they're at a year ago. You figure, all right, they got to be 5 wins, maybe 5 to 10 wins better than what a 36-win team was the season ago. So you think, all right, at best, this should be a 44, 45-win team, and that is a very good jump. That is more than enough probably to make a playoff run. Maybe you're the 6 or a 7 seed. Maybe you get into the top 5 somehow. But I think the elevation of everyone's play, Alonzo Ball playing the way he has, and Alex Caruso when he's been healthy playing the way he has, and then the additions of DeRozan at an MVP level, Vucevic playing better more often than he plays poorly, playing very well in some of the games this year, and then to have Zach LaVine stay at this level, I didn't think that they'd be a 50-pace win team, but here they are kind of sitting at that point right now. I thought 44 wins is more than enough. Now they're sitting at a pace that could lead to maybe a 1 or 2 seed.
Yo, Adam, how is it that DeMar DeRozan seems to get fit in, playing at an MVP level with the Bulls, but with Pop and the Spurs, it was basically nothing?
I would say this, too. The role that he was asked to play with Popovich last season was a lot different than the role he's been asked to play this year in Chicago. Last year, it was more of a three-guard lineup where he was essentially sliding to a four position. So, you know, guys like DeJounte Murray are getting time, and they're really investing in a younger group. Kelvin Johnson, those are guys that are getting a lot of opportunities. And DeMar, to his credit, adjusted his game. He averaged 7 assists a game last year. That was a career high. So you figured, all right, he at least is adaptable, at the very least, being a veteran, being a guy who's been around for a while, his game is able to adapt. And I think to come back to Chicago or to come to Chicago and to go back and kind of revert to a role that he had played more in Toronto, where he's more of maybe a 2 or a 3 rather than playing what would be considered a power forward position in a smaller lineup, he can play at a more comfortable pace. I think that's something that, you know, Jay, and obviously somebody that's played the game and watched it, you understand that when guys can play at their own pace in this league and they feel comfortable at that pace, that makes them very difficult to guard. And I think DeMar is playing at a level where the pacing of the offense, what he's asked to do, is really conducive and comfortable with the pace that he's been used to playing at. And obviously, when you add what he's been able to do in a mid-range sense in a league that's been so three-point heavy and dunk heavy over the last several years, to take what the defense gives you and add this mid-range game, his mid-range game is right up there with the Kevin Durant's of the NBA this season. He and Durant have been two of the best mid-range players in the game. Guys like Brandon Ingram, obviously, from New Orleans, plays very well in that sense, too. But these are two of the best mid-range players in the game. We're going to see him on the floor tonight. I think that's why DeMar has looked and played as comfortable as he has this season.
Adam, tell me really quickly. Let's get juicy for a second. Where is DeMar DeRozan in your MVP voting right now?
I'd probably put him at number 4. You know, and that's probably the biased Chicago guy in me who sees him every day and sees the impact that he makes, not only on the floor with his scoring ability, but look at the impact he's had on Zach LaVine, the positive impact he's had. Ayo Dosunmu is a rookie that wasn't on a lot of people's radars. He was a second-round pick that some people feel like, you know, this is a first-round talent that was drafted in the second round. And DeMar DeRozan's taken him kind of under his wing at times this year. He was there for his jersey retirement ceremony at Illinois last week, made the trip down there. So the positive impact he's had, not only as a scorer, but the way he's impacted younger players around him. I think those are the things that you see when you are in a local market that not everybody sees, that convinces you that, you know, the guy that you're covering is clearly, you know, it should be in the candidacy and should be in the conversation a lot further.
So wait, who are your first three then? I mean, you got Jokic, you got Giannis, you got KD, you got Steph. Who are your first three?
I'm there with Steph right now, and I'm there with Giannis, and I'm there with KD. And I think Jokic is probably right there at 4 or 5. Those are the people that I think a lot of fans, a lot of other players are going to be looking at for the next several months. And I don't know if that group's going to change a whole lot, because I think those five players, you know, maybe you throw in a 6th or a 7th. It's going to be a pretty significant and solid group for the next 2-3 months in this MVP conversation.
I want to circle back to your that you thought they were going to be like a 44-win team. I love this the moves they made in the offseason. They reminded me so much of what the Suns did the previous year. Like, the pieces they added seemed to, ooh, that's going to fit really nicely, right? Oh, Lonzo Ball, that has a ripple effect on your team, and he can play all that kind of stuff. And I figured 50 wins, something like that. I'm surprised that you were at, maybe that's the smart guy thing. Well, a team improves 10 games. That's a lot. But was there some kind of sense to you that there was an upside here? The surprise to me is that Patrick Williams goes down and they're doing this. His development was going to be big, and they're doing it without him.
Yeah, 5 games into the season, Patrick Williams in a second-year role who's probably going to have an assignment like a Kevin Durant tonight. In games like tonight, when the Bulls and Nets play on ESPN, like, you would think Patrick Williams is going to have that assignment. So I think that's the biggest surprise. It's not offensively. I think I was surprised that people didn't think the fit would be there offensively. I thought LaVine being as good of a three-point shooter and a dunker and finisher at the rim as he was, combined with DeMar's mid-range game, I thought that was a fairly good
fit.
He has a great connection. He has a great connection with Vucevic going back to their USC days. That was going to be fine. Defensively is where I think this team has improved a lot more than maybe people would have given them credit for. I figured Lonzo was a good defender. He's been a steal to a steal and a half guy for most of his career. You knew Caruso was an excellent role player on the defensive end. LeBron has praised the play of Alex Caruso for a long period of time. So you figured they'd be better defensively. They were a top 12 defense in terms of rating last season with a roster that's not nearly as athletic as the one that they have right now. So defensively, to see everybody kind of buy in to what they've seen from when Caruso's healthy and from Lonzo Ball, I think you see little influences that those two have had on the defensive intensity. And obviously a coach like Billy Donovan, who's had a good defense just about every year he's been a head coach going back to Oklahoma City. I'm not surprised that this is as good of a team defensively as it is. I'm surprised that all of them have elevated their game in concert together on the defensive end.
Adam, we got breaking news out of Chicago this morning, and it's not the Chicago Bears, it's Chicago Cubs. John Lester is retiring after 16 long seasons of baseball. What does this mean to the Chicago Cubs fan base that he's now retiring?
You know, there are guys that were part of that 2016 title run in this city that, you know, the adage and the joke and the phrase is they'll never have to buy a drink in Chicago or buy dinner in Chicago again. John Lester is one of those people. Plus, when he was finishing up the 2020 season, right at the end of the year when he was going into free agency, I think he spent $47,000 on bar bills around the city of Chicago buying beer for fans around the city. So you earn a lot of goodwill when you do things like that in cities that you performed in. And obviously he's got a lot of goodwill in this place. You know, despite going through some of the throwing issues over to first base, to come back, to battle what he's battled. Max, you talked about some of the personal struggles that he's had with his health and how he's battled that level of adversity. He's a fan favorite in that sense. And to be a part of a title team, break the 108-year drought, all of that, you know, guys like Anthony Rizzo and Chris Bryant, whatever happens to them in free agency, they're going to be looked at and revered in this city for a long, long time on the north side of the city. John Lester is going to be a part of that, too, because of what he was able to bring to Chicago, being part of that World Series title.
Great season that year, NLCS MVP that year, big game pitcher from, you know, Theo took him. He knew what he had in Boston, took him right to Chicago.
Yep.
Thank you, Adam. Appreciate it.
Thanks, boys. Appreciate
y'all. All right,
that's Bulls TV voice, Adam Amin. Going to enjoy the game tonight. Bulls Nets is the hot ticket in Chicago tonight. Hot Ticket is brought to you by Vivid Seats, where you can earn rewards with every purchase. Vivid Seats Rewards is your ticket to more tickets. Vivid Seats, life happens live. Bulls Nets is on ESPN, 9 p.m. Eastern. He's the greatest of all time, yet he may be shut out in 2022.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah, play that beat, Yates. Huh?
Oh, this right here?
What?
Shook Ones Part 2?
What?
This was right. To me, that's the greatest year in the year or two period in the history of hip-hop.
Mobb Deep, man.
Listen to the Man in the Arena podcast, 10-part series exploring how sports has an impact on our everyday lives through the lens of Tom Brady's career. Available wherever you get your podcasts and brought to you by Rocket Mortgage. For a mortgage experience you can be a fan of, Rocket can. Yeah, we got you shook off the realness.
Yeah.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is
my
presented
Clarence,
by
and I got a
Progressive Insurance.
Oh, it's my little 8 Mile thing. Never mind. Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, that's not 8 Mile. That's a different thing.
I know it's not. It's just, all right.
Get these dudes, Yates.
What?
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
Joe Judge and Brian Flores are the latest from the Bill Belichick coaching tree to be let go. And now there are none Bill Belichick assistants as head coaches in the NFL. That tree does not bear fruit. This is the best coach in the history of the game, and none of his assistants are head coaches, Key. Why not?
I don't know. Bill, so if I'm on his staff, I'm on Bill's staff, one of the things that I would do to have some success is I wouldn't take an NFL job. I'd go to college when I leave Bill. And then
that's
come
been done
back
too.
And then come back to the pros to have some success, like Bill O'Brien.
Why?
Nick Saban. You know, that because it just, for whatever reason, when they taking them from the New England Patriots to a pro team, they don't pan out. It just doesn't work. I don't know why. You know, Romeo Crennel, in my opinion, he stuck around too long as an assistant before he got his opportunity as a head coach. So he was a little bit older. You know, you think about Joe Judge, Eric Mangini, you know, Josh McDaniel, Bill O'Brien, Matt Patricia, you know, Jim Schwartz, Nick Saban. I mean, that's a long laundry list of assistant coaches in a tree that hasn't really bared any real fruit, so to speak.
What is it about the greatest coaches of all time? It's like some of their trees are just covered in poison ivy. Like, that's what it feels like. You're talking about that for Bill Belichick. And I may mention, Key always jokes around on text messages because sometimes I try to sneak in my little basketball talk here and there. And I was like, same way for Phil Jackson. Like, one of the greatest coaches to ever coach the game, Coach
here's
Kobe.
A theory.
Coach, same thing.
Well, let me give you a theory. Yeah, let me give you a theory, right? What I said the Key does, how you isolate, what do they do when this guy's gone, when they don't have this? Is it, one of the things that maybe makes them the greatest coach of all time is that independent of anybody else, they will succeed. And so what happens is the coaches who are around them are actually getting more credit than maybe they deserve, coordinators, and because they're actually shining off the light that the coaches is radiating.
It's not just that, though, Max. Romeo Crennel is a hell of a defensive coordinator, like legit. But guess what you're forgetting? He ain't taking the personnel department that's in New England with him to Cleveland and Kansas City.
So
back off.
No, that makes sense.
You're not taking those guys. You're leaving them in New England. That collective staff that I have, some of them are staying. Most of them are going to stay in New England. You may take one or two guys. But for the most part, they staying in New England or wherever they're at when they leave.
So let me ask you this. Which head coach active in the NFL right now, it's still a head coach, has the best tree, has the best coaching tree?
Active in the NFL with the best coaching
tree. What head coach has the best tree? Got to be some old guy, right?
No. If I'm correct in my mind, it's probably Sean McVay from the Rams. If I'm correct.
Sean McVay is 35 years old. Do you think he has the best tree?
Success-wise, right? I mean, a small sample size. Because if you think about it, Matt LaFleur coached with him. Zach Taylor coached with him, both in the playoffs.
Yep.
Joe Barry, defensive coordinator of Green Bay, coached with Sean.
True.
Brandon Staley, 1 year wonder. Still,
they're on his staff.
I know. I get it. You got to give him the credit.
Yep.
Has to be. Wait.
He coached with him. Who else was that? Who else would it be?
Right. Could you imagine?
I was going to say Andy Reid.
Andy Reid doesn't have anybody, though.
Right now, in the NFL, right now.
Right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm saying right now. Okay, let me be clear. I mean, a head coach right now who has coaches who are head coaches right now in the NFL.
It would be Sean McVay.
Sean McVay. That's amazing.
Yeah,
because Pete Carroll's – all his guys got fired. Dan Quinn, Gus Bradley and them dudes, they all got fired. Who else?
Does McDermott or Cully or either one or both count for Andy Reid? I think you're – Sean McVay has the best coaching tree.
I would say they count for him.
We got to get Coach on. We got to get Sean on the show.
I would say they count for Andy Reid.
It actually might be Andy Reid because he also has John Harbaugh. He's been linked.
Andy Reid. That makes sense.
Me so quick. I was like, that makes sense. Guess myself.
Didn't mean to poo-poo. Will the Giants give big bucks to Danny Dimes? That's next. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, the app, SiriusXM Channel 80.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop.
Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.